be good to each other. Stay indoors if you're not feeling good. Look out for one another and be good to each other. And we'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFH. Oh, I like the way Katrina does it. You do it, Kat.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Are you thinking about growing corn, soybeans, or wheat next year? A margin protection plan could be for you. Margin protection is area-based coverage that helps protect your margins from increased input costs or falling commodity prices. When that happens, a county-level estimate is used to determine a payment amount. To find out if margin protection is available in your area, contact your local Ag Country office before September 30th. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keys in Washington. Pop culture legend and singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett is dead at the age of 76. On social media, a statement says he lived his life like a song till the very last breath. Buffett's Margaritaville became an empire of resorts, restaurants, and of course, frozen drinks. The song was released in 1977 and spent 22 weeks in the Billboard Hot 100, contributing Rolling Stone editor Anthony DeCurtis.
That one song evokes an entire world for his fans. It's a world of genial escapism that he created, where people whose lives were not like that.
President Biden is heading to Florida to take a look at the damage from Hurricane Idalia, but will not be meeting with Governor and Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis. DeSantis suggested that might interfere with response efforts. Mr. Biden was asked about that meeting with DeSantis on his way out of Washington within the hour and says he doesn't think the governor will be around.
I don't think he's going to be there. We're going to take care of Florida.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn with details about the president's visit and promises to help people deal with the fallout from the storm.
On Friday, he approved a disaster declaration, providing federal funds to help areas rebuild.
Hello.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was touring aftermath when he took a call from the president.
We're in Horseshoe Beach now. It's pretty rough here. There's a lot of folks putting stuff together.
The damage stretches into Georgia, where Idalia lingered over the state.
It's a busy Labor Day travel weekend. Jesse Ashlock at Conte Nast Traveler.
AAA expects the roads to be packed, and there is a possibility that we'll exceed pre-pandemic levels for air travel. And we are exceeding pre-pandemic levels for spending because everything costs more right now.
In southern China, people are assessing the damage after a super typhoon. The BBC's Martin Yip.
It made the landfall in the early hours of Saturday morning, but then is now skirting again along the coast of western Guangdong province. It's expected to make another landfall when it reaches an area called the Lazhou Peninsula. But yet, Sala has been weakening hour after hour. It's now just a typhoon rather than a super typhoon.
The number of people missing from those deadly wildfires in Maui now stands at 385, down just three from a week ago. Police and the FBI say 245 from an earlier list have been found, but about the same number of new names were added. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Labor Day savings are here at Lowe's. Get up to an additional $1,500 off select major kitchen appliances. And save $100 off select laundry pairs priced $1,396 or more. Plus, make your big purchases easy with Lowe's Pay, our new flexible buy now, pay later payment option. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 9/6. Appliance savings vary based on purchase amount. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for details. Subject to credit approval.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Loaner Tool Program offers more than 80 specialty tools. Refundable deposit required. Stop by O'Reilly today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Summer bonanza means more business in the fall months. hire right with Indeed. Their integrated solution lets you schedule and conduct video interviews all in one place. Finding your next great hire has never been this easy. Get hiring at Indeed.com/credits.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 92. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, 70. Highs level off around 98. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Dry with temps well above average Monday and Tuesday, and highs from the mid-90s to the upper 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Hey folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and this is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey everybody, special episode of the Cripescast today. Dun, 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 because you asked for it. We are doing a Charlie Behrens Ask Me Anything. By popular demand, what do? We did this one other time, right, Kelly?
Like episode 40, and now it's like episode 160 something or other.
Kelly Maraca, ladies and gentlemen, executive producer of the Cripescast. So we've had a few requests for this over the year or whatever, and typically I don't want to do them because I'm guarded.
Stubborn,
something.
Guarded. Yeah.
But as it turns out, we had a guest cancel, so here we are.
No, the main reason is because your brother's podcast keeps getting pushed back, which people keep asking about as well.
It's getting pushed back.
They're very
back,
excited.
And we're not,
we're just building up anticipation.
It's been done. It's in the tank. But we'll explain the reason for the delay come the...
Maybe, if we want.
Maybe, yeah. But it's nothing bad. It's actually very good.
Yes, so that'll be coming soon. And but before we get into the questions...
Yes.
Let's talk about what's going on at Crepes Inc., which tour starts.
The tour starts this weekend in Westby. We've got a ton of fun shows on this tour, including Las Vegas, ladies and gents, but... right after Vegas, we go to Wichita, Kansas City, Springfield, Evansville. It's going to be fun. Check it out. We've got them listed at cripescast.com, and we're probably coming to a state near you. We're going across the country. So there
you go. You got stuff all across the Midwest and across the country. People have been messaging in about all the places we're going to go. So if you have any suggestions, send them our way.
Yeah. Let us know if there's a city that is not on our list that we should go to.
Yeah. Are you excited to get back out on the road?
Yeah, I am. That pregnant pause was because I was drinking some water out of this here kosher dill pickle spears jar.
Oh, I like how it says Best Buy 627, so that water's bad.
Actually, it's new water, old jar.
I know.
New water, old jar. That's a good, that'd be a good, it'd be a terrible name for a band.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, we have so many cups that we have down there, but I love that you take the pickle jar.
Pickle jars make the best cups. They do because they're wide. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to tip a pickle jar.
Mm.
From a water standpoint, some water glasses are too thin. They have too thin of a base. A pickle jar is a nice, sturdy situation.
It's nice and low.
I mean, and it feels good in the hand, you know?
It reminds me of the advice my dad would give me when I would play basketball. When I'd box out, he's like, get low and wide. Nobody can tip you over.
That's what a pickle jar is doing. A pickle jar is boxing out all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Speaking of boxing out, go to patreon.com/CharlieBehrens to see me absolutely wipe the floor with Charlie in basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another Patreon plug. But anyway.
She barely won.
Okay. I think I gave you points.
If I'm not mistaken. You did, but we miscounted the points. So you didn't need to give me points. I had earned those.
Okay. Anyway, let's get to the fan questions.
Okay, fan questions.
Okay, so from Almquist 390, if you could be any bird, which would you be?
Well, that's a great question. I think I would be a red-breasted merganser. Red-breasted merganser is one of my favorite birds. Okay, I'll tell you that much. They are a seasonal duck variety. They got a cool mohawk. They've got a great, very fun courtship dance. You know,
what is it? You want to give us a taste?
Well, I think basically what happens, and I think I've demonstrated this before on various things, but you have one female and then you have five males. And the five males are constantly doing this dance to try and impress
show us
her.
The dance.
The dance is beak up, ass up. That's the way they
feel
like
free
to
get up and show the.
Do it.
Feel free.
I'm not going to. It's like. I mean, and you got to find the actual footage because the way I just did wasn't very graceful or beautiful.
You
the way
get
they
any
do it,
female mergansers with that one.
But then the female, and this is what I like about the mergansers, the female chooses the male, and here's how she chooses the male. She takes that razor sharp beak, and she jabs him right in the side and says, "Let's do this thing, bitch." You know,
nature's Bumble.
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She gets to choose.
Yeah, it's nature's Bumble with the mergansers. So that would definitely be one bird. The other thing I like about the mergansers is I like waterfowl because, and I have thought about which bird I'm going to come back to in this next life. I feel like I was a bird in a previous life too. Anyway, what I like about waterfowl is they get to experience both the sky and the sea, you know? And I think, I mean, they just have literally the best of both worlds. It is another world under there. Now, they do have dangers from both above and below.
Such as?
Well, you know, a muskie, I could see having little qualms about going after a baby red-breasted merganser, you know. Muskrats, you know.
Muskrats ain't nothing.
Wolves.
I've killed a muskrat.
Yeah, well, you're not a bird.
Okay.
You know? Right. So you got to think about that. Muskrats have...
My beagle killed a muskrat.
Yeah. Beagle is also not a bird. They have these sharp teeth. You know, a bird is a little bit... It's low on the defenses side. Its defenses are flight. You know, a bird's not going to fight much. But a merganser... Mergansers
are... You just said the sharp beak.
Like they do have a sharp beak that's more for fishing. You know, mergansers are more lovers. They're not fighters.
Is that why you resonate with...
I think so. I know how to fight. You know, not well, but I know how to fight.
Yeah.
I basically know enough to hurt the person who's trying to hurt me and make them maybe regret not choosing me. Like maybe they should have chosen someone else. They're still going to win probably if they know how to fight like somewhat good.
Who would win in a fight, you or a merganser?
I would never fight a merganser.
Who would win in a fight, you or a flock of 10 mergansers?
Well, they would just fly away together.
But like if they were attacking you?
I would welcome an attack from 10 mergansers. I feel as though like they would initiate me into their thing and then I would become merganser man. Red-breasted merganser man. It would just be me with two red breasts, you know?
All right. You ready for your next question?
Yes, I am.
Okay. From John James. How do I survive my first Wisconsin winter? I'm from Southern California.
Oh, no. Southern California come up to the Wisconsin for the first time? Well, I would say now is actually a good time to go buy a big coat. You need a big coat. And you might be able to get a good price on one because, you know, they're not as in demand. So I would say right now, go find yourself. And I would say the biggest coat you find, get a bigger one. I know it's an El Nino year. It may possibly be a warmer winter, but also weirder things have happened. And so I would get yourself a nice big coat. And then really, I think the next part is driving. And
what do you keep in your car for like in the event that you've spent out?
Yeah, so that's a good point. I think come November, snow comes a little later, but come November, December, what you want to do is get yourself some salt for the salt deal in the basement, you know, the airsoft or the water softener. Get yourself some water softener salt or bags of sand, put them in your trunk or the bed of your pickup truck. Mm-hmm. That'll kind of weigh it down, give you some extra traction. Also, I would get a shovel in the back of your truck. I would get an ice scraper. Get two ice scrapers. You know, one for the snow. They break off, and sometimes you hit a deer, and you know you really want to get in the grill. You know, and you know sometimes that deer's quite not yet a goner, so you got to use. I'm kidding. Do not do that. I would get all those things in your and then yeah, you probably want to toss a blanket in there just in case you get stuck and you know you're in the middle of something, keep warm. I think start driving. And if he's in Southern California now, he can actually start practicing driving on the snow by going to the beach and driving on the sand. Mm-hmm. It's a little different, but if you get like sort of like a sandy road by the beach, you know, mm-hmm. that has some similarities to snow, believe it or not. It's basically a loss of traction. And then also when you're driving on sand, that's kind of like thick snow. So it's kind of, you got to get on there and get mm-hmm. the tires moving and everything. And then when he gets stuck in the sand, because you probably will, then you can practice getting yourself some boards, putting them under your tires, and you can get yourself free in there. Now, that's only if he's got a lot of time on his hands. You know, I usually wouldn't recommend someone intentionally getting stuck in the deal there. But yeah, that's
sounds
a
like
couple.
A lot of good advice.
Mm-hmm. The other thing he's got to start preparing for is how long the goodbyes are. They take forever, and how to get out of the Midwest goodbye. You know, we've gone into extensive discussion of that in the stand-up special and mm-hmm. various videos. So that's good. But the bottom line is just start saying goodbye 4 hours before you want to leave.
And to go off of the coat thing, you want to also make sure that your insides are warm as well. So probably wouldn't be bad to stock up your booze.
Yeah, he's going to just have to start acquiring a taste for brandy. Yeah. You know, and some people, they have a hard time with that. Brandy is, some would say, an acquired taste. I find it to be great. But start, you know, asking for brandy old fashions. Maybe just start off with a bourbon old fashioned, if that's like what he's accustomed to, and then slowly graduate into the brandy. And then mm-hmm. soon enough, his blood will like thicken, you know, kind of like a dog being left out in the winter. You know, they build up their winter coat.
It's like hibernation.
Yeah, he'll build up his Wisconsin coat.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Okay, so Chris Van Wagner, what is the hardest thing you ever had to tell a priest in confession when you were a kid?
What was the hardest thing I had to tell a priest in confession when I was a kid? Oh man, I don't know. I lied.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever.
Then what was your go-to to like kind of?
It's not confess. That I. It's not that I lied, but I was like, how am I supposed to remember everything I did wrong? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I lied. I don't know. I always said swearing. I said I lied to my parents. I said, you know, I wasn't nice to my brothers or sisters. Da, 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 da. That was it. And I mean, that's really it. I don't think I even did that much. Well, I did confess. Yeah, never mind. I used to, outside the Adoration Chapel at this church I went to, me and my buddy, for whatever it was about Adoration, which is kind of this little chapel that someone's always praying in 24 hours a day or whatever, but they smoke a lot of cigarettes and they put them out like outside the church. Me and my buddy, we go pick up some of them cigarettes with a little bit of game left to play. And we took them out to the woods and finished them.
And you admitted that during confession?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did. He can't tell anyone. He's a priest. And you know?
What'd he say? What was your like?
He said, it's not good for you. I was like, I know, you know, but.
Did you keep doing it?
Yeah.
Glad you're learning from it. I don't think you're grasping the concept of confession.
Well, it takes a while. You know, that was when I was young. That was when I was fourth grade, maybe something like that.
Wow. That early you were doing that?
Doing what?
Smoking?
Well, it was only like little parts of cigarettes. You know, we didn't start taking that tobacco and rolling it into a new cigarette until much later on.
Like fifth grade, sixth grade.
Something like that. you just do stupid things as a kid. I never really got into smoking much, but you just try things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I did as a kid, but I was kind of an angel, so.
Yeah, you give me that goody two shoes vibe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What was your like? Toy of choice as a kid?
Toy of choice. I had many. I had a dinosaur collection, little fake plastic dinosaurs. I had a gemstone collection. I was into rocks before all these hippie gals were into them. And then what else did I have? I made a lot of my toys. I had a belt and a Pringles can, and I cut holes in the Pringles can, made it like a sheath, you know, for my sword. Knocked out the bottom of that. I was an accessory guy, you know. but I like knives, and I liked, I like that kind of stuff. But beyond that, toy dinosaurs, I wanted to be an archaeologist because I saw Jurassic Park, and I thought those paleontologists were archaeologists.
Yeah.
So for a while, I wanted to be an archaeologist, but really, what I wanted to be was a paleontologist. I wanted to look at dinosaurs. I wanted to find a cool dinosaur shark tooth. You know.
Okay.
I forget the name of that dinosaur. I'm going to look it up. I think it's a dinosaur shark. Ichthyosaur? No, that's the alligator.
All of this is just like, wait.
People are curious. People are
over
curious.
Over my head. No. I'm not saying it's not interesting. It's just over my head.
No. You can latch onto that. It was the Cretoxithrina. No. Okay. Stacanthus edsted. None of these names I know. Helicoprion. Megalodon.
I know the name.
That's
that.
A T-Rex. Anyways, a prehistoric shark. I want one of their teeth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Maureen Levine, sorry if I say your name wrong. She asks, I've been meaning to ask you for some time. Do futzing and putzing around mean the same thing? And if not, would you please explain the difference and use an example of each?
Yeah, futzing and putzing. You know, really what futzing is a mix of and putzing. So it's like quit futzing around, you know?
So it's an escalated version of putzing.
Yeah, and putz, I believe, comes from, it's a Jewish term. And we'd have to ask my buddy Andy Rafi.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like you're a putz, like a schmuck. Yep. I think, and perhaps I'm wrong about that, but I think Rafi and I were, well, I was having a beer. He doesn't drink much, but or at all. And he was telling me about it after a show one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him and get back to the fans on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cam 111294 says, we all love that you do such a great job making everyone aware in a super funny way of all the things everyone loves about Wisconsin. But what are the top five things you love personally about growing up here and living here?
Oh, I think that's a good question. I really love, first of all, the outdoors element of it, being outside. I think that's sort of the best connection, you know, that we get with you know, whatever God you believe in, it made all the rest of it, you know? So I think that, I would say definitely outdoors, you know, learning how to fish and getting in that habit, as a kid, you know, I'm super thankful for that. I think that has a lot to do with my family and then, you know, Wisconsin having access to all these lakes. I think the other thing would be just that idea of things not ever being perfect. You know, there's so much, I grew up with, you know, obviously a lot of siblings and, you know, from a family that didn't really, value, perfection, you know, cause you know, when you got a bunch of kids, everything's broken or something wrong or whatever, but you can still make do, you can still make it work. And we didn't have, you know, my dad came from like a pretty, blue collar, background and kind of, we kind of grew up with that sort of mentality of like, you know, if it's broken, fix it kind of a thing, or learn to fix it. And just cause you don't have the best thing, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Like things don't, like, I remember one time I was growing up and I was like, oh, dad, so-and-so's got a good car. Isn't that cool? He goes, you know, car is a stupid thing to to think something like that. He's like, or I was like, Dad, if you had the money, would you buy that? He's like, I do have the money. I think it's dumb, you know, or some, I forget what he said.
Yeah.
But basically it was like, and then that sort of tricked the thing in my brain where I think I think some people are, you know, certainly friends of mine in Los Angeles say, I think maybe grew up with a more focus on material items, and that those say something about you. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing about maybe Wisconsin Midwest, my family, yeah. Midwest, is that there's this line in Fight Club, you're not your Dockers, you know? So, and I think that there's something about that, that I appreciate about the Midwest, is you can wear whatever to whatever and be fine.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not too precious, or it's like material items. Maybe I feel like there's still materialistic people in the Midwest.
Oh, there's, yeah.
But
everywhere.
I would say, like, I get what you're saying. The material value of things. I remember like saying that to my mom too, growing up, just being like, oh, this person's like, there's like the rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, their house is so nice. And my mom's just like, do you like going out on the boat? Do you like going on X amount of trips a year? She's like, it's all about what you want to do. And she's like, you just like, just because you look at someone's house in a specific neighborhood, she's like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And she's like, they could do that, but like, look at what they're doing day in and day out. What are they deciding to spend their money on? What are they valuing? And she's like, I'd rather spend money on doing things with my family and XYZ, kind of similar to what your dad was doing.
Yeah. I mean, and all those things always get old, you know, even when your friends buy like a nice big house or something. Mm-hmm. Well, in 5 years, everything in that house is all of a sudden outdated. So now right. You got it. Now you got yourself a big problem on your hands.
Yeah.
That's why I like, you know,
super outdated houses that will come back into style.
That's it. You gotta get them on the, you know, and I tell everyone that kitchen is made of recycled ocean trash, you know, and it ups the value of my kitchen, you know, because it is technically, like, if I were to throw all that stuff out, most likely a lot of that stuff would end up in the ocean.
Yeah.
Just statistically speaking. So I'm just cutting out the middleman.
You have an upcycled kitchen.
I have an upcycled kitchen made of recycled ocean trash. I'm just I'm cutting out the point of where it has to go in the ocean in order to be recycled ocean trash. You know,
look at you. You're so on the forefront of.
Yeah, it's just how you reframe things.
Gordy Messersmith asks, do you really love the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How are you feeling about this year?
Great.
And you used to what? Sorry, I cut you off.
I used to cry when they lost when I was a kid. Like, that's so ingrained in me. Very deep. Very, very deep.
Nice.
Like, if they lost, I would go outside and like, I would find my tree and go cry under it.
I wish we had like footage of that. That'd be amazing.
Oh my God. I'm so happy there weren't cameras really around when I was a kid, since I'm old. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Okay. So those are the questions that I got on Instagram. I also have some supporter questions that we didn't answer last week.
Yeah.
Month. Do you want to go through that?
Let's do some of those.
Okay. Ryan Bolan asks, when you tour outside of the Midwest, where do you find the largest turnout for Wisconsin natives? Like, where's a pocket that you're surprised that, like, you've...
Yeah, well, the first time we toured out of the Midwest was Nashville, because I was Googling my name, as you do, folks, and one of the first things that came up was Nashville. So I was like, oh, I wonder if people think I'm playing there or whatever. And then we booked a show, and that went... But I think Nashville's got a great pocket of Midwest people. Also, Florida... I don't think, you know, Florida and Arizona, people get like, okay, snowbirds, but Nashville has a nice pocket of them. Alaska, also a lot of Midwesterners out there, a lot of Wisconsinites specifically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tink Kubant asks, when you were on tour last year, what was your favorite city and why?
Oh boy. God, that's a really interesting question. I'm trying to think back. You know, we had a lot of fun in Dubuque. We kind of went out after that show and had a good time. And I remember Dubuque being fun for whatever reason. It's popping into my head. So many of the shows were fun though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you like to go, cause like in Bemidji, you went and did a hike.
Yeah, Bemidji, I went and I did, I hiked the National. That was another cool one, Bemidji. I hadn't been up there. I went up there in winter. It was beautiful. It had just snowed out and did that state park thing and, you know, found a perch in the middle of the path that this eagle had dropped, you know, like in the perch still warm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was a fresh one, probably mm-hmm. scared that eagle. You know, and so I looked at it and I left it there. I knew that eagle would be back. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. There's so many cool spots. It's tough to pick one.
Nice. Neo_wizard says, what's your favorite vacation spot?
My favorite vacation spot, I will go with Land O'Lakes.
Sports world, college football runs hot for three solid months. There's a little break between conference championship games and the bowl season, then it picks up by late December and takes us through the national title game. The rest of the year, well, that's talking season. And let's face it, throughout the winter, spring, and summer, there's been more talk, more intrigue, and more genuine excitement for the Badgers than we've seen in quite a while. And why not? The state has welcomed new head coach Luke Fickell, who just 2 years ago led the University of Cincinnati to the college football playoff. He's a coach who played in the Big Ten and who shares many of the values that have made the Badgers nationally respected. At the same time, Fickell and his staff are putting their own touches on the program, all in the pursuit of championships. At long last, talking season gives way to the main event. As America's top-ranked college sports town gets ready for a day-long party celebrating the return of college football in Madison. From Camp Randall Stadium, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Buffalo Bulls. The Badgers pregame show is underway.
On the Badger Sports Network, from Learfield.
Ron Day has become the NCAA's all-time career rushing leader.
This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Still loose. The Badgers cover it up. Touchdown, Wisconsin! There it is! And this game is underway with a bang! One more time, J.J. Watt! Touchdown, Wisconsin! Hello, Russell Wilson!
On Wisconsin!
70 yards, catch and run, Lee Evans, his fourth touchdown reception today!
Record-breaking run, Melvin Gordon! 4-0-8!
Picked off by T.J. Watt, and he is gone!
The Badgers pour onto the field. They are Rose Bowl champions again.
10 to 10, 10 to 10, 10 to 5. Touchdown, 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 Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
Badger football is on the air. Brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin Badgers. U.S. Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. And by UW Health Sports Medicine. Treating the Badgers. Treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
And we get to welcome you into Camp Randall Stadium in Madison on a blistering hot day, second day of September, and a day we've been waiting for 280 days from November the 26th, when Luke Fickell was hired to be the head coach, to today. The first game, although technically Fickell is the coach of record for the Badgers winning the Guaranteed Rate Bowl over Oklahoma State, this is truly the first game. New coaches on the Badgers side, Phil Longo, Mike Tressel, all of the assistants new. A game with new players, quarterback Tanner Mordecai, wide receivers C.J. Williams, Bryson Green, Will Pauling. The list is long, but longer is the list of players you know. And the voice of the Badger is Matt LePay, someone you know well. Matt, we've talked a lot about this. You just in the intro talked about the talking season being over and the playing season is here. But it's how do you kind of put your finger on the pulse of the anticipation and the excitement as to what's going to happen here starting today.
I think first, Mike, what you said is spot on with a lot of new names, but a longer list of familiar names, and that is significant because there was not a max exodus into the transfer portal. Yes, a few people moved on, but the core of this team, the playmakers, the top players, have stayed. And that says something about the relationships that Luke Fickell and his staff were able to develop in a relatively short period of time. To your question, it's the most talk that I have experienced, let's just say, in quite a while. In 2011, the anticipation of Russell Wilson, they were coming off of a Big Ten championship. They had a lot of key pieces back. Question about the quarterback spot. Russell obviously answered that emphatically. 1999, again coming off a Big Ten championship, but knowing that they could make another run as Ron Dayne was pursuing what was then and still should be the NCAA career rushing record. So those are the seasons that I would have as comparables. But suffice to say that it's been a while since there's been this type of off-season intrigue slash excitement for Wisconsin football.
Matt, they're tremendously different, but you brought up Russell Wilson. Tanner Mordecai, I was talking to Chad Ryder, NFL.com, earlier this week. He said Tanner would have been a third-day draft choice in the NFL, but that wasn't what he wants. He's an NFL-caliber quarterback. What about that excitement and to what he might bring to this program?
And what he has said, if it's to me, I would think to you and to anybody who asks, like, what do you want to prove? And it's really what the folks in the NFL were saying. It was great what you did at SMU. Can't take that away. Now let's see what you do on the Big Ten stage under the, you know, 80,000 or whatever the attendance will be week in and week out against some of the best players in the country. So he's an experienced quarterback, a very productive quarterback, has a coolness to him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say laid back, but he has a coolness to him. I think they'll tell you that he is a fiercely competitive guy. And, you know, big picture, Mike, he's the one quarterback, and I've said this throughout the, you know, from spring ball on, I don't know if I've seen this much raw talent in the quarterback room, but Tanner Mordecai is the only one with significant experience.
Yeah.
So, like the old line from, you know, the Burt Reynolds line, the longest yard, protect your quarterback.
Yeah.
That's going to be really important for this team.
The group of receivers, you and I have talked on my radio show and other times about this group of receivers. It's different. Some of them are holdovers. Chimray Dike's not taking a back seat to anybody. Keontae Lewis. There are some players that have been here. But this group that came in, Matt, it's a little different.
It's deeper, and it has to be, given the type of offense they want to play. Bryson Green, he's a chiseled guy. He put on 10 solid pounds from last year at Oklahoma State, where he put a really good year together. Didn't see him in the bowl game. He was out. Didn't see him in spring ball. But he has really made an impression. C.J. Williams, transfer from USC. Will Pauling, he'll be the top slot receiver for Wisconsin in the rotation. He's the kind of guy who could turn a 10-15 yard throw into a 50-60 yard play. I truly believe that. And Skylar Bell, who would be next in line at the slot receiver position. We saw him start to emerge last year. So they talk about wanting to be six deep at that position. I think they clearly are. And I think if need be, they would feel fine with number seven in there, maybe number eight. But again, with the type of offense they want to play, you have to have that kind of depth at the receiver spots.
The type of offense that they want to play, they is Phil Longo. He's the offensive coordinator. It's called an air raid offense. People will freak out about that concept. But in that concept, how does Braylon Allen and Chez Malusi and a running back room benefit?
Well, you talk about a lot of times in football where you run to set up the pass. It could be a little bit of a role reversal here at times when they, when I say win, hopefully win, they are able to prove to defenses that they are a threat. They can hurt you by throwing the ball. That should create a lighter box for Braylon Allen, for Chez Malusi. As you know, you and I have talked on your show multiple times, only the service academies had running plays with a more crowded box than what Braylon Allen or whoever carrying the ball was, but especially with Braylon Allen, because defenses were geared strictly to stop him. So they're trying to, you know, lighten the load with him if they can, but at the same time, you know, they want to get him the ball in other ways too, not just handing the ball to him. He has like he has 21 catches over his first 2 years as a Badger. He has talked about, you know, hey, give me 50. I don't know if it's going to be 50, but I think just getting him the ball, swing passes to him out of the backfield, they're plays that are kind of like runs, only they're not, and maybe he gets the ball with a lot of space with which to work.
And no receiving touchdowns in his career so far. I think that might change as well. Let's talk about the other side of the ball, because the offense has gotten taken up a lot of the oxygen in the room, but the defense and Mike Tressel that he brings will be different, but the differences will be more subtle to the naked eye?
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, it would be hard to tell. If you are a true X's and O's guy, and you know, Tausch will obviously be able to help us with that, I'm sure you will see some differences. Mike Tressel's talked a lot about blending the elite, the way he describes it, what has worked really well under Jim Leonard, one of the top defenses in the nation over a sustained period of time. Well, Mike Tressel's had nationally ranked defenses as well. So what's worked for Jim, what has worked for Mike Tressel at Cincinnati, at his time at Michigan State, I think in a very general way, what Jim's defenses were so good at, were keeping offenses maybe guessing where the pressures were going to come from. I think it'll be a similar story with the way Mike Tressel likes to dial things up with his defense.
Last one for you, Matt, and that is about the game day atmosphere. For those listening to us now who are coming into the stadium, this is going to be a 180. I had Mitchell Pinta on my program yesterday, deputy athletic director, and he talked about they wanted to overhaul the entire process, keep certain things, but change a lot of things, and today will be different.
Yeah, it's already a little louder, right, with the music. I think in a very general sense, it's going to be louder, and it's going to be edgier. You're going to, what you're going to hear when the team comes out of the tunnel, what you're going to hear when the Badgers kick off. It's going to have a little edge to it. We've witnessed that in many other Big Ten stadiums or stadiums, period, across the country. They're trying to bring a little bit of that here into Camp Randall. So for some, it might be a jolt. But I think for the kids who sit in that student section, and that's where the juice comes from. You know, if they get here on time or not, that's where the juice comes from, outside of the blaring speakers. If they like it, if the football guys like it, then I think a lot of this stuff could really become a thing and help enhance a home field advantage.
Genuine excitement, even from the broadcast side, no?
Yeah. Excitement, curiosity. Yeah. You just want to see how it goes. And I'm trying to manage my own expectations here, because when you're changing the way this program is changing or wants to change, I have to expect clunky stretches, right? Yeah. You're not going to see a finished product today. But you still hope it's a product where you walk out of here going, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. And it's like everybody's saying, everybody is just glad that it's finally game day, including Luke Fickell, his staff, and most importantly, his players. They want to tee it up and get this thing going.
Very good. Matt LePay, the voice of the Badgers. He'll be joined by Mark Tauscher on the call today, kickoff at 2:35. UW Athletics is proud to recognize the official products of Camp Randall Stadium. Brewpub, lots of matzo pizza, Old Dutch potato chips, and Pepsi on Wisconsin. When we come back, the pregame show continues. Our visit with the voice of the Bulls, that's Paul Peck. He's in next. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
You have one new notification from Cleary Building Corp. This is to remind you, if you're thinking about building a home, storage facility, or commercial building, make sure your building has a Cleary Shamrock on it. At this time, we urge you to visit clearybuilding.com immediately to speak with a sales specialist to get you the building of your dreams.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Get the best warranty in the business at clearybuilding.com today.
It takes perfect execution to get to the end zone. The right play, the right formation, the right route. Every moment is meticulously practiced and perfected to defeat the opponent. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our award-winning team tackles cancer head-on with the same kind of precision. We work smarter and fight harder with customized treatments and world-class doctors. The team at UW Health Carbone Cancer Center stops at nothing to intercept and defeat even the most complex cancers. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
There are three things I look forward to on Labor Day weekend. A really cold drink, a really good book, and really good deals. That's why I'm glad I went to Kohl's. I saved an extra $10 off when I spent $25 or more and got 50% off outdoor furniture and rugs, tees for under $10, and denim for under $35. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. The moral of the story? Get everything you need to relax for a really low price. At Kohl's. Select styles. $10 off $25 offer in September 4th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
JJ and TJ.
Picked off by TJ, what?
Russ and Barry.
Hello, Russell Wilson.
This is Badger Football from Learfield.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later, and I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Back with you at Camp Randall Stadium. Brewpub Lots and Lots of Pizza is a proud partner of Badger Athletics, made right here in Wisconsin and loaded with award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese. Brewpub pizzas are everything we love here in the Badger State. Scoop one today from your local grocery store or enjoy one next time you're at the game here at Camp Randall Stadium. I'm Mike Heller. Buffalo is in town. The first of three non-conference games for the Badgers at Washington State next Saturday night. That's a 6:30 Central Time kick. Georgia Southern will be here in 2 weeks. That's an 11 a.m. kick. The Buffalo connection was Lance Leipold. The former UW-Whitewater head coach took over the Bulls program in 2015. In 6 years, Leipold's Bulls won two MAC division titles, went 24-10 in the final three seasons before he took the job at Kansas. Maurice Linguist is the Bulls head coach now in his third season with an 11-14 record. We welcome in Paul Peck, the voice of the Bulls. We're just talking off the air about the Lance Leipold run at Buffalo. Give us a sense of the impact that he had on the program and what the carryover still is.
Well, I'll give this to you, Mike. Lance came in 2015, but this stat came my way in a couple weeks ago. Since 2017, Bulls have won 41 games. That's second most in the MAC, only to Toledo, and that's a good bulk of Lance Leipold. Three bowl wins have all come since Lance came into the program, the first three bowl wins in school history. So, Lance took this program from a program that had a couple of good years when Khalil Mack was here, a little there, to a consistent level of winning. Six wins, then the next year, 10 wins, and the following year, in the shortened season, 6-0 during the regular season. So Lance really elevated this program to a level that it continues to stay at, and that's what Coach Linguist has been working to and trying to maintain where it's at the upper part of the Mid-American Conference.
Yeah, Paul, and in this game, this opportunity, listen, anybody from the MAC is familiar with big environments. You have your own big environments, but most MAC schools will end up playing a Big Ten game every year on the schedule. So there's no sense of the idea, well, this could be overwhelming. What is interesting is that you're taking on a program that isn't last year's program anymore. A lot of unknowns here.
Yeah, so not to get your Badger fans concerned or worried, but one of the stats we've been sort of trumpeting a little bit is a MAC team has beat a Big Ten team 18 years in a row.
Yeah.
Right? So, to your point, the MAC schools kind of get what this is all about. Now, all that said, it was a very interesting topic of conversation about how do you prepare for this team. Coach Mo, that's what we call him, Coach Mo, said something very interesting. He spent a year as this cornerbacks coach with the Dallas Cowboys. before he came to Buffalo. He had gone to Michigan, and the Michigan only lasted a couple of weeks until he got the job in Buffalo. But he said getting ready for this game was a lot like he remembered preparing in the NFL and dealing with free agency, which is you're literally watching film of guys from other teams to get. So they're watching Mordecai at SMU. They're watching the wide receivers that have transferred in. They're watching Phil Longo at North Carolina. They're watching Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. So they've been doing all of that through the course of the offseason to get ready. There's no question it's a challenge. Whether Mo's NFL experience and maybe some perspective on how to approach that helps, I don't know. We'll find out. You know, I mean, again, you know, we all get the Badgers are big favorites, as they should be in this game. I think the only thing that plays to Buffalo's advantage is you've got a team that's never run this stuff before.
Correct.
You've got all these transfers, quarterback, wide receivers. They've never played together in a game. They've never run this offense. It's so much different than what your DNA has been. Is there an opportunity for the Bulls to take advantage of that, whether it's a quarter, a half, or the whole game? That's what we'll find out.
We're talking with Paul Peck, the voice of the Buffalo Bulls. While Buffalo has been watching film from SMU and North Carolina and wherever else, Cincinnati, what Wisconsin has been watching is Buffalo. And what is it that they will see?
Well, a more veteran team than Coach Mo has ever had in his 3 years here. Now, remember, when Coach Leipold left, it was May. So Coach Mo gets hired late, doesn't have a spring practice, scrambles to try to cover up for some of the portal losses. So they've had two number one ranked MAC recruiting classes 2 years in a row. And the good thing about it in this day and age of college football, particularly in the MAC, they didn't lose any of their best players. Matter of fact, Coach Mo likes to say that one of the few teams in the country that had zero transfer portal entries after spring football. So a Sean Dolak, who led the nation in solo tackles last year, is back. A Marcus Fuqua, who tied for the national lead in interceptions, is back. A Damon Williams, who's been an all-MAC guy at defensive tackle, is back. The defense is the strength of this team. You got a quarterback returning, you know, unlike last year when he was a transfer from Rutgers and nobody knew anything about him. So it's a much more veteran group. It's a little more of a proven group. I think, you know, they were picked for the upper three or four of the Mid-American Conference, and I think that's legitimate based on the guys that are coming back. Defense, I would expect, is the strength of this team right now. The whole D-line is back. You've got the guys I mentioned coming back. The offense lost a lot of receivers, strong at running back. So I think the defense, if something as good is going to happen for Buffalo today or in this first month of the season, it will be the defense that will lead it.
Paul, let me ask you one more question. I'm going to take you back to the 18 straight years a MAC team has beat a Big Ten. There's a pride in that statistic, right? I mean, the MAC schools, they enjoy this opportunity, one that you're going to get today.
Every MAC team was sent a black Pirates flag with the MAC logo and the skull and crossbones. This is a couple years ago. And every time they beat a non-conference opponent, somebody unfurls that and runs out on the field with that. That's a little bit of the MAC sort of, you know, hey, we know who we are. We know we're the underdogs, but don't underestimate us. So, you know, if things go crazy today, at the end of the game, you'll see that flag. I know nobody wants to, but if you'll wonder why is someone running around with a skull and crossbones and a MAC logo, that goes to the pride of this conference. The, you know, and again, any kid that's playing in the MAC would have loved to play in the Big Ten, right? And for obvious reasons, they aren't. But that doesn't mean they don't want to go out and show, hey, I could have been here. You should have thought about taking me here. That's always what every MAC team uses to inspire itself against the Big Ten team.
Paul, really good stuff. Thanks for spending time with us. I hope you enjoy your trip, but not the next 4 hours.
I get it. I get it. Hey, you know what? I'm a college football fan. To be able to be here in this incredible atmosphere is, I got no control over what happens down there. I can control what I do up here, and to experience this is what I want to do.
Paul, appreciate it. Still to come, we'll visit with Jesse Temple of The Athletic coming up next. Our Minute with Mac. We'll hear from Athletics Director Chris McIntosh. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
As the leaves change color and the air turns crisp, it's time to get your set of wheels ready for the autumn adventures ahead. Stop in today to your neighborhood bumper-to-bumper auto parts store for all your vehicle's fall essentials. New wiper blades, motor oil, fuses, air filters, and more. Or you can find whatever you need online at mybumpertobumperstore.com. We do offer same-day in-store pickup or convenient ship-to-home service. Now that's bumper-to-bumper, where service is the difference. We've got you covered.
The men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers operate the heavy equipment that builds our roads, bridges, and schools. But did you know they also build the wind and solar farms that supply clean energy to our homes and businesses? They install the broadband infrastructure that helps provide high-speed internet to every corner of Wisconsin. Build your career with the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. Visit join139.com to learn more.
On Wisconsin, the Badgers play here. This is Badger football from Learfield.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Our Badger pregame show continues. Time for our Minutes with Mack, presented by Evans Transportation. Our weekly chat with Athletics Director Chris McIntosh. We've had several months now of buildup, of speculation. What's this going to look like? How's this offense going to go? How is the defense going to go? Talking season is almost over, though. Imagine you are thrilled at that thought, right?
Absolutely. So much excitement today. It's in the air. There's been so much work put against getting to this point. And like you said, there's been so much talk about what this team could be and what it could look like. And today we're going to find out. And I'm as happy as all our fans are to see it myself.
You've seen practices in the spring and now in fall camp. I mean, there's some legit talent that fans have read about. They've seen some clips, but the depth at wide receiver, they're building depth in the secondary right now. We'll see how it all comes together, but there is a lot of talent, not to mention returning guys like Braylon and Chimere and that group, a lot of gifted guys on this year's team. Right?
There's a lot to be excited about. There's a lot of new faces, and I think, there'll be a lot of performances that our fans will be just thrilled to see. And you mentioned, we've been playing against each other. We've been banging up each other for the last month. And now I'm really just happy for the players who have put in so much work, really been through so much over the last year to go out and now showcase it against an opponent like Buffalo and in front of what will be just an incredible atmosphere and environment today.
You've been there as a player. Final thought here. You know that first game, and you can't get out on the field fast enough. So you know what these guys are going through. Do you have to be careful not to get yourself too amped up, or is that even possible?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said there's not a little bit of muscle memory there. Opening day in Camp Randall, I mean, that's hard to beat. But I think like I mentioned, I'm thrilled that the kids in our program get to experience that for themselves. And that's what I'm passionate about in my role. And today is no different. You know, like, they've got so much going into today. The fans will reward them with an exciting game day, and that's a beautiful thing.
All right, that is our Minute with Mac, our chat with Athletics Director Chris McIntosh, presented by Evans Transportation.
All right, thank you, Matt. Time for a pause for station identification. 10 for an ID. This is Badger Football.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
All right, and coming up next, it's been a big week for Badgers making their way in the National Football League, and this summer was a monumental one for a Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas. Our Badgers in the NFL segment is next, presented by Cunis Auto RV Group, your trusted automotive dealer across the Midwest. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Are you ready for Badger football? Because it's time to get geared up. We're all coming together for those epic on-the-field moments. Shields is right there cheering with you. So suit up in your Badger.